You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Visit us soon at our new State College location.
This is the Blue White Breakdown, the premier podcast for all things Penn State football.
Talk about culture. It's something that should show up in every aspect of your program.
It's the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live. Here are your hosts, Bob Flounders and David Jones.
Well, hello there, Penn State football fans. It's time for the Blue White Breakdown podcast, Penn Live's Penn State football podcast. We're going to talk Penn State hoops in this edition. Dave also wants to get something off of his chest regarding that weird Chargers-Raiders result on Sunday that nearly became a tie, but Dave said it was never going to happen. You got to check out his column about it on Penn Live. We're going to talk about that too, Dave, but we do have a little bit of Penn State news to discuss. One thing involving potentially Penn State's opening game at Purdue, it was September 3rd. There's now some reports circulating that it could be moved to a Thursday night game. Well, that would be September 1st. That's kind of interesting. I think you and I were at a Thursday night game when Penn State in 2018, they played at Illinois. That was in early September. I guess there's talks that they might open the season, Penn State at Purdue. Very interesting game. It could be Thursday night. What do you think?
I've done a few of those season opening games. You remember the kickoff classic, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love the old kickoff classic game.
The old kickoff classic of the Meadowlands was pretty cool. It was.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you never really knew what the hell was going to happen because everyone's predictions are BS until you see a few guys play, especially until you see the kids play. There can be freshmen or sophomores who haven't played who can really be surprises. So I remember. I mean, the first game that I ever did on the Penn State beat as a beat guy, as the lead beat guy with Ronnie, was 30 years ago against the defending national champion Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets at the Meadowlands. Do you even remember that game?
Was that the Georgia Tech team that wiped out Nebraska to win the national championship?
Yeah,
Didn't they destroy them in the Citrus Bowl?
Yeah.
Come on!
But not the Joe Hamilton team that Bill O'Brien helped coach later. That was a few years later. It's always kind of an interesting thing when the season begins in a night game. Some of those kickoff classics were afternoon games. I remember going to one. I mean,
didn't you cover a 34-5 game?
The USC game, right?
Yeah,
the Curtis Enos game, and then it was 29-5.
Oh, 29-5.
When Paul Hackett's team chopped them up, I think that was the 2000. Yeah, that sounds funny, right? Paul Hackett coaching USC and beat him up in 2000. I think it was Rashard Casey was the quarterback. So that was kind of ugly. I can't get all that excited about a Big Ten game, but Purdue is a really interesting team.
Yes.
No matter when you play them, and that's going to be a tough game for Penn State because Jeff Brohm's kind of got it going. I mean, they won 9 games this year. An interesting team all the way through the season, upset Michigan State, gave Michigan State their first loss.
Whipped Iowa in Iowa City.
Yeah, and really, really whooped up Iowa.
Whooped them.
They beat them up. It's funny to say that they would beat them physically, but they kind of did because they don't really run the ball that well. Anyway, an interesting team, so that won't be an easy.
Yeah.
You know, Purdue, not all that long ago, Purdue was a pretty soft touch, you know, and since Jeff Brohm showed up about 5 years ago, not so at all.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I think a lot of people are excited about the game, Dave, on Thursday night. It is. I think it's the first ever matchup of 35-year-old starting quarterbacks, too, in college football history. Sean Clifford and Aiden O'Connell, right? Is that his name?
We will see. Yeah, Aiden O'Connell was a walk-on.
Yeah.
He really came out of nowhere, kind of had to pry the job away from Jack Plummer, their other quarterback. Are you absolutely saying that Sean Clifford is going to be the starter in the first – you're just
– I am not saying that. I do think the way that they've handled the quarterbacks in the past, it's going to be real hard to beat him out early in the season, Dave, just because of the way you're going to know all you need to know how they work these quarterbacks in spring. I mean, I don't think Sean Clifford needs to do a lot this spring, but you got three young quarterbacks who have obvious physical gifts. I mean, just let him out there. Let him run around. Turn him loose. See what you have. And then you have a better idea going into August, maybe what the talent gap looks like in year one, if there is one.
There shouldn't be certainly a limit on reps and practice during the summer. I mean, everyone should be able to get a fair shake at this job, I think. From what you've seen of Drew, have you seen Drew Aller in person? I can't remember.
I have not. There were some highlights. I saw a little bit of his. He was in a All-American Bowl, I think, over the weekend. The kid's a giant. He's every bit of 6'5", 230. He's got a rocket for an arm, but, you know, Penn State's been down this road before with a rocket-armed five-star quarterback that they just have. So I think you're going to need to see a little bit more of him. A lot of people like Bo Prabula too. Christian Veau is not – I wouldn't dismiss him, although Yurcich has some weird – he was very curt in his answer about how he was looking in the bowl practices leading up to the Outback Bowl. He said like one sentence about him, and then he just gushed with praise about Prabula and Aller. I don't know what that means. All I know is I just think that Sean, he's coming back, and it's a challenging early schedule. And if they're going to work him, they should work him in August. But I really think they got to evaluate these young guys, and they have to have a pecking order, I think, going into the season. Just because Sean's probably going to get hurt if he is the guy. The way that he plays, he takes a pounding. They're going to need more than one quarterback, I believe.
The elephant in the room is that most Penn State fans, I would guess, think they want to see one of the younger quarterbacks.
Correct.
Would you agree
with
that?
Feedback I've got. Absolutely true.
And I don't know of a nice way to say this because I don't want to pile on a college kid, but Sean Clifford is going to be 24 in July. Yeah. And there are, I think maybe it's time. You know, my argument is that we know who he is.
Yeah,
you're probably not going to see a lot of improvement at this point for NFL scouts. So I guess he just wants to go to grad school and still likes to play football, and that's fine. But I don't think there's any guarantees once you get to this point in a kid's career, including the starting job. We'll see how that goes. Other coaches have named a freshman or a sophomore the starter in these situations, even with a longstanding incumbent, maybe not one of Sean Clifford's stature, but it has happened before. I kind of agree with you. I don't think James Franklin's going to do that. I don't think Mike Yurcich is just going to do that, but it has happened. There's precedent for it before. And it's not like we're back in the days of it took four or five games for Joe Paterno to unseat an incumbent quarterback, even if it was his first year. I mean, you remember what Zach Mills had to go through in 2001. I think it was week five against Northwestern before he got the job from Matt Seneca. And Matt Seneca was not exactly an incumbent. Rashard Casey had been the starter the year before, but he was the elder statesman, and so he was made the starting quarterback. Those days are over. I think the transfer portal and mobility of kids – And the way freshmen have been playing quarterback for years now, they come in and start and are fabulous right away. C.J. Stroud is a perfect example. I think the days of all that going on are over. And I think if you get a prospect like either Prabula or Aller, and you think they're the best guy to help you win, put them in, man. Put them in.
Yep. I'm with you. Hey, Dave, before we get to the national championship game, I just wanted to get your thoughts on LeVar Arrington. You actually covered him. You were on the beat with Ronnie Crist. Just a spectacular athlete, 98 and 99, especially 99. Memorable player. One of the all-time favorites, fan favorites, LeVar Arrington, elected to the College Football Hall of Fame. I think the 2022 class, obviously. Just your thoughts on him. What was he like? How much did you enjoy covering?
A blast to cover him because he could not be controlled in any way. Not verbally, not physically. Sometimes early in his career as a freshman, and you remember when Micah Parsons just started playing?
Yeah.
He was still thinking out there and you could see it. I remember somebody coming up to me in a hotel. I can't remember where we were. And asking, well, what about this Micah Parsons? I just said, wait a while. He's just figuring it out. Once he figures it out, he's going to be flying around the field. And that's the way it was with LeVar. His first year, he wouldn't stay in lanes. I mean, he just freelanced all over the place. And Paterno got pissed off. And he put Aaron Gatton as first team linebacker. I sometimes joke with LeVar now, even on the phone, if I call him, I said, well, you know Aaron Gatton.
He probably gets a kick out of that.
Oh, he always laughs. It never fails to get a laugh out of him. And, you know, those days are over, too. I mean, you're not going to do that to a kid with that kind of talent now, but that was Paterno back then. And he eased him in. He really did. But I mean, you couldn't keep him off the field. You couldn't keep him off the field and you couldn't keep him from saying whatever he wanted. And I remember Joe Hermit taking a photo of them on the sideline. I don't know, I guess it was about 15 years ago, probably about 2008, and LeVar came back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I remember this.
Do you remember that? Yeah. And LeVar's got his dreads tied up in the back. And Joe's got his hand on him like this. He's grinning, but he's got it going like this. And LeVar's just laughing because that was the stance. I mean, he was their modern day Matt Millen, the guy who just could not be controlled. And he was going to do what he was going to do. But it was a blast covering him. It still is. It's still a blast to talk to him. One of those guys like Millen that you never have a bad time talking to.
Right, right. I just wanted to ask you this, too, because it's my understanding that to be eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame, you have to have had at least one season where you were consensus first team All-American.
I didn't know that was true. I think it is. I've never really been plugged in with that.
Yeah. Because I wondered, like, early when I was on the beat, I don't think Lenny Moore, I don't know that he made it to the College Football Hall of Fame because I don't think he was ever a first-team All-American, so he wasn't eligible.
Well, but maybe that should be changed.
The reason I bring it up is I just looked it up because I can't believe it. How is Courtney Brown not in the College Football Hall of Fame?
I didn't know he was.
I don't understand that. Yeah.
You know, I've always thought the College Football Hall of Fame is kind of like local Hall of Fames in a way. You go through some of the guys who aren't on there. I've said that before about what? This guy's or maybe he's finally elected like 20 years after he was eligible. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why wasn't he in there in the first place?
I'm on his Wikipedia page. I've been Googling it for the show. I don't have any reference for him. How in the world is Courtney Brown not in the College Football Hall of Fame for what he did during those 2 years at Penn State? Like, how is that possible?
A force of nature. I will never forget that Outback Bowl against Kentucky, New Year's Day '99, where, I mean, they're just he and LeVar were terrorizing. Tim Couch.
Yeah.
You can't miss NFL quarterback. See, that's an example of a guy who went to, who did he go to? The Colts? I forget.
Browns.
Went to a bad team, went to a bad organization that couldn't protect him. He was the David Carr he was about the exact same time as David Carr, probably the year before. That kind of segues into something I wanted to talk about. You watched the game last night, right?
Yes.
You know, I could have written something about Stetson Bennett going from, you know, it's a great story, going from a walk-on to to having a great play, a great couple of plays, or the Georgia defense, which was just about as ferocious as anything we've seen. That Georgia defense this year, I compared them to the 85 Bears of college football in that they were that fearsome. Yeah. They were that imposing and intimidating, except for one game. Of course, for this team, it was the SEC championship game.
Miami Dolphins.
Billy O'Brien figured them out for one game and shocked them and surprised them and got 41 points. But it only happened once. And of course, back in 1985, that was the Dolphins on Monday night. And it never happened again either. But the reason they could do it in both cases was the quarterback. And I just thought Bryce Young in defeat was spectacular last night until he just got so beat up that he threw a couple of bad balls late, almost like a punch drunk fighter. God, he was just getting the crap beat out of him and making throws with guys freight training him right in the face. They let some stuff go last night as far as that, as far as hits that were bang, bang. I didn't think they were really penalties, but if a flag had been thrown, you wouldn't have been surprised, stuff right. like that. Anyway, he was getting hit. I mean, N'Kobe Dean hit him once.
Yeah.
The defensive end, Trevon Walker, hit him hard one time when he was rolling right. He was getting beat up, and God, he just showed me so much the way his composure, his demeanor, his body language, he was imperturbable. He never, ever gave up. That he had to be hurting like crazy. He had to be discouraged with the receivers. He's got third and fourth line receivers there, a couple of whom couldn't catch the ball, put the balls right in place. He had to be discouraged. I'll bet NFL scouts were more impressed with his composure and his durability and his tenacity than anything else about the way he threw the ball, and he threw some great balls.
I don't think Penn State's offensive line would have matched up well with Georgia. I don't think so.
You were just waiting for the punchline.
I don't know how that would have gone for Penn State. I don't know that we'll ever see Penn State play Georgia, so there's that. But it's just those athletes, we've said it for years, but these two teams certainly aren't going anywhere. I mean, they're going to be with the way they recruit and the way they develop, and it's a different level of football. And they were clearly, by the end of the year, the two best teams. I mean, I don't even know, you know, there wasn't a third team, I think, that could have even hung with those guys.
No. And how about Jordan Davis? Holy crap. You know, the guy's like 360 and he moves. Have you ever seen a guy that size move like that?
No. I can only imagine. He's probably a great athlete. He probably just really, I bet you he can dunk a basketball.
Yeah, he's like Ndamukong Suh was, except springier and bigger. You know, he's probably 40 pounds bigger than Ndamukong Suh was at Nebraska, right?
Yeah. Right?
Faster straight line. And just a terror. I mean, I suppose he could get hurt with that kind of weight going that fast. But my God, I mean, the Georgia's whole front, these are guys, and Alabama, some of Alabama's guys, these are guys you just never see in the Big Ten. Do you? I mean, do we ever see anything?
There's a rare Michigan or Ohio State athlete, maybe, but they don't have like 13 of them on their team.
Well, we think George Karlaftis from Purdue as a stick out player, or Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan.
Yeah.
But they're not like these guys. It's not even close. It's not remotely close.
That Alabama kid that's not eligible for the draft, I think he had 35 sacks this year. I think he was better in the first Georgia game, but the outside linebacker, he was a phenomenal player too. And he's a guy to watch next year.
Will Anderson. But he didn't have the volume of guys around him that Georgia did. I mean, I don't know how you pick your poison with that defense. And OB shocked them one time, but I just had a feeling they weren't going to shock them again.
Yeah, and losing those two receivers, Meechie in the first game and William.
Yeah.
It's just rare to see that many athletes that playing. That was ferocious. I can only imagine what the Georgia celebration was like in Indianapolis last night. That must have been, I mean,
well, those people
waiting a long time for that.
They've been waiting a long time. Did you see Dooley?
No.
Did you see Coach Dooley out there?
No. I saw Uga. Uga looked like he was a little warm.
No, you must have turned it off before Vince Dooley came out. He got to be 90, right? I suppose. But he looks spry out there.
Yeah. Well, Dave, that Georgia team that won in 80, Herschel Walker, that's the first time I can remember seeing a guy who was just, you know, it was a sign of things to come down the line. Now they just have 15 guys that are built like him instead of just one back in 19. Yeah,
Alabama's got a guy like that every 2 years.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. They're freaks. But
Najee did it again. I mean, he's a great back. Najee is. I mean, they just keep stamping him out. And we think it's great when somebody like Saquon Barkley comes along.
Right.
But here he is, not too durable. And those guys, they play and play and play in the NFL, and it seems like they never get hurt. I mean, am I missing catastrophic injury for any of those guys?
It's actually all the injuries happen to the Penn State kids. It's the running backs. They all do. I hate to say it, but usually the Georgia or the Alabama backs, like a guy like he's not even a big guy, Mark Ingram. He's short, but he's powerful. But he's still in the league, and I think he won the Heisman in 08 or 09.
Yeah, and they just keep coming. They just keep stamping them out. So it's the big, powerful, fast guys. Big Ten has big, powerful guys, or they have fast guys, but they don't have big, powerful, fast guys. And there's so many of them in the SEC. And like you said, man, I don't see it stopping anytime soon. With NIL down there, they're just going to get, you know, the local used car dealer and say, Coach, what do you need? You know, and it's going to be open season. And I say, so be it. I'm not one of those guys who thinks it's going to be the end of college football. It's just going to be what we had in college football, except above board. And it's going to be legal, but it's going to be the Wild West. It's going to be out of control. And you know, the SEC is going to have no compunction about, they're not going to be worried about what it looks like, put it that way. I mean, they're going to shell out whatever money to these kids they need, and they don't care. They don't care. I mean, it's a professional game at the SEC level, and that's what I thought I was watching last night. I was like watching a low-level NFL game.
This is the Blue White Breakdown.
Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Have questions? Visit us at Curaleaf.com or stop in to see us at any of our locations, including our new State College dispensary located at 1248 South Atherton Street. Let's talk medical marijuana and let our confidence become yours.
Okay, Dave Jones, you choose. Next topic, is it Penn State men's hoops or is it the Raiders-Chargers game that had you frothing at the mouth?
Well, since I really haven't gotten to talk to you about it, Did you watch it or were you just blitz out drunk? I mean, what condition
Dave,
were you
I enjoy
in?
My Sundays. I have a lot of enthusiasm on Sundays. I appreciate the question, Dave. I would not characterize, obviously I enjoy my Sundays. I would not characterize it the way that you did. Does that make sense?
Well, the best part of the game was like 10:30, 11 o'clock on a Sunday. And
You made some really, really good points in your column, but the odds of three scoring possessions in a 10-minute overtime, I don't know how they did that. I just don't know how they scored three times in overtime.
How about a 19-play, 83-yard drive to finish regulation? I don't think you really were paying attention. I think you were probably in a condition. Be honest. I mean, it's okay. You've had a whole day of watching the NFL. Maybe you weren't really paying attention. But
I wasn't really paying attention.
That drive was incredible. It was incredible. And Justin Herbert is going to be a special player. He really is.
He already is,
He already is. But, my God, he converted – I think he converted three fourth downs. Collinsworth and Michaels. Al Michaels keeps getting these legendary events. And trust me. And we're not just talking about the Miracle on Ice or Three Rounds of Thunder, which he was at. He did that. We're talking about stuff like the 86 ALCS with Donnie Moore, the game five in Anaheim, where the Red Sox won with Dave Henderson's. They got three
Rondo
runs.
Henderson.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the great baseball games of all time. Al Michaels did that. This is on that level. I mean, there are consequences. It's not going to probably be remembered that way, but this game was wild. And what the strange thing about it, all Steelers fans know, is that the only way the Steelers would not make the playoffs is if there was a tie. Now, how do you feel about ties in general? Because I like ties. I used to like ties back. I don't think you can really remember because they started overtime in 74 You were just a little boy then, right?
Sometimes you deserve a tie. That's what you deserve. I mean, you don't. You can't just say we're going to play till there's a winner. If they hadn't gone to the 2-point conversions, Penn State and Illinois would still be out there playing.
Yeah, I think ties are illustrative of who coaches are, too.
Yeah.
What could you say about? I know you're too young for this, but the Michigan State Notre Dame game in 1966. 10-10. It was 10-10, and it showed exactly. It showed. For the great coach that Eric Parseghian was, it showed who he was. He was okay with that.
Didn't Woody and Bo play to a tie?
Yeah, that was they were trying to win the game.
And then they gave the Rose Bowl to the wrong team.
10-10 tie in 73. But I'm talking about illustrative of who a coach is. I think the 83 de facto national title game between Miami and Nebraska showed who Tom Osborne was. He went for the two when he didn't have to. And when you have ties back in those days, you saw these kinds of things. Plus, there were also games that deserve to end in a tie that just aren't very good, and you just want it to be over with. There were a lot of those games back in the late 60s and early 70s when I was so into the NFL. And I went back and looked at it because I thought this was true. We've kind of decided that ties are unmasculine. They're effeminate. And no one should like having a tie, which is total BS. You know, just
strong stance, Dave. Strong stance.
That's American culture right now. You have to have a winner. Well, you don't have to have a winner. One of the most masculine coach in the history of the NFL was who? Vince Lombardi, probably. They had two ties the year that he coached the Redskins before he died of cancer in 1969. There were years where teams had three ties. My brother-in-law coached on a Michigan team that almost had four ties.
Yeah.
The undefeated 1993 Michigan Wolverines very nearly finished the season 8-0-4. They did finish at 9-0-3. I think it was 92. We were at the Blockbuster Bowl.
McPherson at Syracuse famously play to a tie against like Pat Dye in a big-time bowl game, and he didn't really try and win it. Do you remember that?
Syracuse-Auburn?
I think. Do you remember that game?
No, I think Syracuse
was undefeated. I'll have to look it up, but I think he played for a tie rather than try. One of them did. One of them did. I remember that, though.
Well, it shows who guys are.
Yep.
But we've gotten to a point where American culture just is not going to permit it. And you're considered a pussy if you accept a tie at the end. And here were two teams. All they had to do was tie the game, and they both get in. And they would not do it for one reason or another. They just wouldn't do it. The Chargers coach, it was an interesting guy, a Cleveland guy who was a quarterback for the Dayton Flyers in college. And he looks like he's 24.
He does.
But he's analytics heavy, you would say, right? I mean, he's very into that. They go for it a lot on the minus side of the field on fourth down. This game's ready to end. It really looks like the Raiders are just going to run out the clock. They're running the ball. I mean, the Raiders were going to accept a tie. The Steelers would have been screwed. And yet Staley decided, no, he's the smartest guy in the room. But, man, he's on his own 39. The ball's on his 39. There's 38 seconds left, and he decides on a timeout. I mean, come on, man. Just take your playoff spot. And if he hadn't done that, you could make a pretty good case that the Raiders would have just run out the clock. But no, he's got to be the man with the calculation, the man with the better way, which is kind of a masculine kind of thing right now. And who's the interim Raiders coach? I can't remember that guy's name. You know, he looks like Mr. Macho Man. He's got the graying goatee and all that. And Gruden probably would have hired a guy like that. I don't know anything about him. But you could just see, and Derek Carr admitted to Michelle Tafoya after the game, was the strategy changed when Staley called timeout? And he goes, yeah, we did. So if he doesn't call that timeout, they don't try to kick the field goal. I mean, they did run for 10 yards right after that, and they're in position for a 47-yard field goal by Daniel Carlson, who's one of the best kickers in the league, hasn't missed a kick in that new SoFi Stadium all year. And it was like a chip shot for him. So you could make the argument that if Staley doesn't call that timeout, both of them get in the playoffs. And so you have the smartest guy in the room on one side, and you have the indignant guy on the other side, which are both kind of macho traits. And neither one of them really wanted a tie. They just needed an excuse. Give me an excuse to not take a tie, and I won't do it, even though it's beneficial to both of us. I just think it was illustrative of what this country's about right now.
Dave, let me see if I have it straight so far on the Blue White Breakdown podcast. We talked about LeVar Arrington in the College Football Hall of Fame, talked about Georgia beating Alabama. We talked about Penn State possibly playing their season opening game at Purdue now on a Thursday night. But I think the headline for this edition of the Blue White Breakdown podcast is ties are for pussies. That's what I'm going with. That's how you feel. You're not shying away from it. I think it'll be a great clickbait headline. I might get fired, but I don't know. I'm thinking about doing it.
I like ties. And you know what else? I like soccer. I like soccer too. Yeah.
All right. We got like 2 minutes left, man. We're running over. Do you want to talk Penn State men's hoops or not? Can you be brief?
I think Micah Shrewsbury is doing a really good job with not much. And they've got a kid from Siena named Jalen Pickett, who reminds you of Earl Monroe. Now, if I had been there, I got to watch it with COVID right now with Omicron because I'm diabetic. So I haven't been to a lot of since my last Penn State road trip. I haven't been to anything. I just have to
Earl the Pearl.
Watch it right now. But I would love to go over there and talk to Jalen Pickett. Name a guy from the past who would just get a guy. He pounds. He dribbles too much, but he knows what he's doing. He knows what he wants to do, and he dribbles, gets a guy in a hip, and then he does that swivel thing. Remember Earl Monroe who would do that? You know, he does this swivel thing back and forth with dribbles, and then has the fadeaway. I mean, it's like the old man game at a guy you think would have a knee brace at the YMCA. That's the way he plays, and I love it. So
We need to get you up there for a game if it's possible.
Yeah, as soon as we can.
All right, that's it then, right? And anything else?
I'm going to take Kaiser out and run him around again. He can – what is it, 19 frolic. Degrees there? I don't know what it is here.
Does it's he like, frolic?
He sprints, and he loves it when it's cold. And he just goes and goes and goes. It's 22 right now. So you can't tire him out. He's like a racehorse that never lathers up. I mean, he just keeps going. The other thing about big dogs is when they get old and they know they can't do the stuff they do anymore, they turn into great old dogs too. They act like you. They're like, I don't know. Well, give me a few minutes to warm up.
They adapt like Jamie Moyer did late in his career. He still was able to win games at like 48, but he just wasn't the same guy when he was 28. No. That's all.
Yeah, no. You throw to contact. You throw to contact.
All right. Well, I don't want to keep Kaiser from his walk. Blue White Breakdown podcast, Tuesday. Dave Jones, Bob Flounders. I'll be back with Daniel Gallen a little later in the week. Dave, you better watch that Rutgers Penn State game, and I want a strong take from you next Tuesday when we chat on that.
You need to start watching and send some. You know, Billy's doing some good things with St. Joe's too, and he's gotten not much, and so you should be watching that. We can talk about that. All right, see you.
All right, see ya.
This has been the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.